You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, yesterday we gave Ty the opportunity to be part of the Power Hour. Do you want to do it again, or do you want callers to do it?
I say we get the callers.
You want callers to try it?
Yeah, let's do that.
800-919-3776. If you're listening, you want to be part of it, you have the opportunity to do it. You know who we need to do it, though? I've been wanting this man to do it for the longest time on this show.
The best voice at the station.
That's what I'm saying. If anybody can deliver the Power Hour anywhere near Bart, if not better than Bart, it has been Don LaGreca.
I think clearly better than Bart.
And I really, I'm actually looking forward to this. Now, do you know what we're doing here?
It's the Power Hour.
It's the Power Hour.
Power Hour.
Did you get that?
I mean, that was really good. Is his mic on?
Is his mic on?
Is it this one?
Oh, no.
It might be that one.
There we go.
I think you turned the wrong one on.
Hello?
There he is.
It's the Power Hour.
Wait.
Sorry, I don't know.
You're very excited. Makes it even better.
I didn't know. I was very excited to see two of my favorite people.
Ty Butler and...
and Ray Dina.
I knew that was coming. All right. So you know how it goes. I set it up, and then you just jump in, and you need a number. It has to be a significant number. So the hour after that has to be a reason for how many you do. Like Bart did six. He wanted the Knicks to win in six, right? Like that's kind of what we were doing.
Okay.
There was a couple of times I think he did a number based on, I think it was Wembanyama at one point, whatever it is. So have in mind a number and then try not to pass out when you hit that number.
I think he's going Stanley Cup Finals prediction in the amount of games. I think that's where he's going.
I'm reading the room, uh-huh, and I'm going to go, it's the Power Hour.
Wait. I have to set you up.
How many
up
times do I have to?
You're
giving him blue balls.
I don't know if he's allowed to say that.
He said he just did. It's this show. It's our show.
Listen, we had a lot of fun with Aaron Judge. You can imagine where we went a couple of times on the show yesterday.
Listen, we answered a question on this show this morning that Josh Hart asked a question on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you? Josh Hart asked, have you ever tried your partner's breast milk?
No.
Never? Weren't even curious?
No, not even remotely curious.
You're right, okay.
And I'm a big bodily fluids guy.
No. But, well, I mean, that's a little different than most bodily fluids.
I guess I'm the only
freak here.
No, I don't think it. No.
I'm the only freak. I'm sorry.
But I'm a curious guy.
Ask K. Listen, my guess is, K, I don't know if he'll admit it, my guess is he's a yes.
I've tried it just accidentally.
This guy won't eat anything. He won't eat a chicken parm.
I know he won't have condiments and all that stuff. This is different.
I witnessed him eat his first banana at the Super Bowl in San Francisco.
Well, that could also be. Like I said, I don't think he'd admit it publicly. I'm going to say yes. But I am a yes. I might be the only freak here, but that's it.
No, I've tried it.
I'm letting my freak flag fly.
I will say I'm not grossed out by it.
It shouldn't be.
If it was a Meet the Fockers moment, right, where he drinks it on accident.
Yeah, that's different.
I wouldn't be all grossed
out.
You
wouldn't spit it out.
But no, I'm not remotely curious. That was never my objective.
Well, the first time for me, it was not a curiosity. It was more of I had no choice. It just happened.
It just happened.
It was all over the place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was one of those moments.
There's a really interesting story.
That ended up just becoming what is going on here? Oh, I get it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, if the tap's open.
Right.
You know, so what do? You just
shoes
start
on the other foot. So
flashing your tongue.
That
everywhere?
Is legit.
What do? You just flash your tongue everywhere.
I love this show. I love it more than the K show.
We get away with more because you are you guys are the standard. You have to set a standard. Us, no. We're like when the kindergarten goes out on the playground. Everybody's like, just don't make a mess. I don't care what you do. Anyways, you're here for one reason and one reason only. Okay. I know this. So, it is hour number three. It is Bart and Han. Don LaGreca, what's that mean?
It's the Power Hour, hour.
Five.
It's got nuggets in five.
Nuggets in five.
Wow.
Nuggets.
I was counting.
In 5.
Dana Hand's mad at me because I didn't gong at the right time.
See, I love
Nuggets
and
in 5 is
the Miami.
Right, it's the right call.
I love what the Heat have done. Now, this is opposite of the Panthers. See, I find this interesting, and I'm not just purposely tying in hockey because I think they're both South Florida, both 8 seeds.
How about the story of like South Florida, the market?
Upsetting.
Knocking off Boston in Game 7s at home. You know the last time that happened? The same market knocking out two Boston teams in the same year in Game 7s at the Boston Garden.
Don's going to know this.
The last time that happened. It's happened once before. I thought you'd know this.
You'll know this.
You think I'll know this?
I'll give you the year it'll give it away.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, of course, 86.
No.
Really?
No. It's the Bruins and the Celtics, Boston Garden. So it's in Boston, Game 7s, one market, knocked both those teams out previously before this year, South Florida teams. If I give you the year, it'll give it away.
Don't give them the year. That'll give it away.
But you're going back further than 86.
I think because you're talking about the Devils beating the Bruins. Because you said market.
I said it goes back beyond 86. So it's not the Devils.
Oh, so you're going, oh, wow.
Yeah. I saw this. I loved it. It was a great stat. Thought you knew this.
No, I didn't. No, I'm embarrassed.
He's going to kick himself.
Should I give him the year? If I give him the year, he
gives
probably
it away.
Gets it.
You want to give him the market?
No.
That'll give it away, too.
73.
In 73.
Mm-hmm. Same market knocked out the Bruins and the Celtics in Boston.
Same. Oh, so it's not New York. Just a market.
It's the same. Teams from the same market knocked out.
Right. But I'm saying I'm thinking New York teams knocking out a Boston team.
Well, it was New York teams.
Right, but I'm thinking
73, the Knicks won the championship.
Right, 70. So
they beat the Celtics.
The Knicks beat the Celtics.
On their way.
Right.
The Rangers knocked out the Bruins.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
Wow. You overthought that, which you never do. You never do that.
But still, 73. But
yeah.
Back
but how
to my
about
original
that?
Point.
Isn't that amazing?
That is pretty crazy. But yeah, because now, it's the 50th anniversary, too, which is kind of crazy. All right, is that I believe that the I'm still going to pick Vegas, but I believe the Panthers are like legit because they won the President's Trophy the year before. If Joel Quenneville isn't forced to resign, there's a chance they
went
win
through
the
a
cup
lot.
Last year.
Yeah.
Right? Burnett wasn't the right. But Miami, they've got that mystique, but I really feel like this is where it ends because Denver's just a flat out
and they're a
better
team. Well, they're also a better matchup. Here's why.
Yes.
They have Jokic to break that zone.
Right.
Pass into the middle. He's a great passer. So they have the guy who can break the zone, and they're a legit good 3-point shooting team, which is also breaking that zone.
Right.
So that's their defense is not going to have the same effect it had on like the Celtics.
And the coaching disadvantage is not going to
not
be
even
as significant
close.
As
not
it was
exactly.
In the past
exactly. Now, now the reason that I like the Golden Knights and the Nuggets, same reason, it's their time. It's the Nuggets' time.
I like that.
It's the Vegas Golden Knights' time. Do you realize this is their sixth year?
It's amazing.
Second time to the Stanley Cup final, two times to the conference final.
It's crazy.
Missed the playoffs once, and the one time they lost in the first round was that controversial game against San Jose in Game 7 with the 5-minute. So that they probably win that game and they win that series, and who knows where they go. It is one of the most incredible starts, and I don't count the St. Louis Blues with the expansion back in 68. Because all the expansion teams were in the
same
conference. Because
there were only six teams, and then they have 12 after that, right?
They had 12.
So it was such a small league.
They put all the expansion teams in the same conference,
which
guaranteed an expansion team making it to the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
And the Blues were just the best team at the time. Scotty Bowman was their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have Ty pass out.
No, I'm not. I'm listening.
So,
what is this session here?
What I'm interested to talk about is this league ready? As they transition away from LeBron, I'm not saying he's retiring, but his days as the best player are clearly over.
You're never going to see him in the conference
finals. You're going to now have to find the post-LeBron. We had a post-Jordan before LeBron came. Is this league ready for Jokic being the guy?
No.
And nobody's touching this guy.
Nah, it's that. And you're right, because here's what happened. Post-Jordan, there was Kobe and Shaq. Right? Post-Jordan, you had Kobe, Shaq, so they were still, and they were in the biggest market.
Right.
They were in L.A.
So this
you still had some sizzle. This is what's scary now. It's really, I guess it's sort of like that mid 2000s where it was like the Pistons won, and then you had the Spurs.
Net runs and Spurs.
Yeah, the Spurs were good, but it was like, I mean, is Tim Duncan ever going to take over the league? See, I would equate Jokic sort of like Tim Duncan, where the appeal as a star is never going to be there.
No, it's never
recognize the greatness of the player. He's probably going to be successful, but I'm not going like I'm buying sneakers because Nikola Jokic is wearing sneakers.
Yeah, but
that's not happening. They need the next guy. Now, Steph Curry
is 35.
He's still here, though.
If Ja can get his act together,
I'm not feeling comfortable.
No, he could
not
be.
Feeling good about
so
him.
So, like LeBron, KD, Luka, and Steph are all older now.
We are in a very awkward stage right now.
You know what? This is going to sound crazy. This is my favorite stage of the NBA. Because now it's wide open. Multiple teams can win. I like the team concept. I was never a superstar guy. I fall in love with teams.
Which is why the Heat have gone against everything that today's NBA is about, which is this notion that you need stars, you need stars. Now, they have a star in Jimmy Butler, yes.
But he's not a superstar.
But he's not a traditional star, right?
No, he's not a captivating
kind of... And they've got like five undrafted guys. It's like they make a mockery of this notion that chasing stars is how you win. No, it's once again, it's...
And by the way...
I have a coach, I have an identity. This is who I am. I get players who fit the identity. That's how we'll win.
Isn't that fun?
Of course, it's fun.
Four Pistons team.
And by the way, it's not just this year with Miami. They were in the finals in 2020. Last year, they were in Game 7 of the Conference Finals against the Celtics.
How many finals have they been in since 2006?
Well, the four with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, and this is their sixth finals appearance.
It's their seventh.
Yeah, because they had the one with Wade before LeBron.
They won in 06.
Oh, you said
06. Yes, since 06.
Since 06.
Yes, they won in 06, four with LeBron, Wade, with the big three, the bubble, and now here.
Yeah, so this is their sixth since 06, yeah.
I mean,
that's incredible. But I was bored, honestly. I get pegged as a guy that doesn't like the NBA. It's my fourth of the four. But I got bored with Cleveland Golden State every year. I got bored with knowing only two or three teams had a chance to win. I had fun this year. I love an 8 seed making a run.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Because why do they make a run? Because of the cohesion, the coaching. I want the coaches to matter.
Yes.
I love the Robert Horry NBA, where a guy that can go and like be like Dom Baylor, just playing the final every year with a different team. Because Lawrence Taylor is my favorite player of all time, but I didn't put him ahead of the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants are my favorite football team. And then I liked Lawrence Taylor because he was a Giant. I like stars, but I don't want it over the team
concept.
And
to your point, it's just so funny. Denver's the number one seed in the West. Kind of felt like an underdog because it's to start the playoffs. What was the conversation about the West? It's wide open.
Yeah.
Anyone can win. Lakers,
because of the way they finished the
Warriors.
Season.
Warriors.
But Denver caused that because they really mailed it in.
No, it wasn't just that. All year long, when they were at their apex, no one believed the Nuggets could win the West.
There's a part of me, just being that guy, being the hockey guy self that I am, that is going to love the NBA's best player not being from North America. I'm gonna have fun with that.
You know? Well, yeah, Giannis when the Bucks won.
Right, yeah.
But let's be honest, the last MVPs have all been
Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic.
Non-Americans, non-North Americans. I mean, that's
I'm fine with sport. But I'm just saying, is that always been the knock with hockey? It's like, well, there's not enough Americans playing. There's not enough.
Of course.
You know, and Jaromir Jagr being the best player from the Czech Republic.
Can't pronounce his name and all that stuff.
Well, happens in the NBA now on occasion, too.
Now you look at hockey names and you have a hard time with it. Then you see Giannis's last name and you're like, yeah, I'm just going to call him Giannis. but you know what's funny? Because you say that about this finals, and yet it's going to be interesting to watch the ratings, because we had a chance to have Lakers-Celtics with LeBron in it. That would have been a huge ratings finals.
Monster number. Better than last
ratings
year, which was
good. Yeah. Game 7 set a record in the Eastern Conference Finals. But that's what's the difference between when you're a sports person and you're all about, I like seeing different teams get there. But then when you're just the general public, general public wants brand names, which is why the leagues are always about brand names. I need brand names in the finals.
Let me ask you something, though, Don.
And we were that close. We were close to having it.
So you got bored of Jordan's Bulls during the 90s?
Yeah. I mean, I liked the concept of being that great for that. I really enjoyed Jordan.
Dynasties are great, though. But, fun to have.
But you didn't give those poor, you know, all those teams.
Portland and Phoenix.
You didn't give
Utah
them
was
chance.
The only team you thought had a shot.
And that was exciting, right? Yeah. And they had stars. Yeah. You know, Malone and Stockton were stars.
Yeah.
But Ty, there was a concept of the super team, like the original, like when I say super team, meaning just a dynasty team, so that's kind of captivating. But it was also boring in the sense that there wasn't really anything compelling competition-wise. Watching Jordan win was what was fun watching.
Because it was Jordan.
But you wanted to see one of those teams step it up. And there were some quality teams. Phoenix, Utah, Portland. None of them really had a chance.
All right. Don't forget
you have to run. I know you have a show to do. But this is way, way more fun. I don't know if you saw this, but we opened the show with this. And I have a feeling it might creep into your show. Actually, I'm hoping it will.
Okay. Anything's possible.
Because we turned the whole first hour into a whole ChatGPT gives us lists, sports lists.
I got sucked in last night.
Okay.
You see my timeline?
Did you see the MSG tweet?
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're on this. Like, we did this.
Oh, I saw. I'm well aware.
I was going to give you the... Okay, you're aware.
I'm aware.
So you know the whole, the Jeter, Manning, Brodeur, all that stuff. All right. So you've definitely been involved in that. They did, so I started going down the rabbit hole of ChatGPT making sports lists.
Okay.
Because it's artificial intelligence. It's supposed to be fallible. It's not infallible. It's not perfect. It's supposed to actually learn from its mistakes and then fix it. So someone had ChatGPT rank the top 50 baseball players ever, all time. And what we notice is in the top 12, we've probably, between the two of us, seen two of them play with our eyes in our lifetime. You and I.
Okay.
At our age. Ty has seen one. All right? The number one player on this list, could you guess? ChatGPT ranking. This is the best baseball player ever. Number one. Who do you think it is?
Ruth?
Yes. And you say that with no hesitation?
I mean, I can understand.
Pretty confident.
It.
Babe Ruth last played baseball in what year? Yes. Go ahead. Now believe it yourself. You were on it.
35.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say 34, 35.
1935. The sports best player ever played before, when automobiles were not common, before television. Think about that. The sports best player is still a guy that played when gloves were like you wove your glove yourself. Like, the ball was wound by a human being. Well, bats were made out of a tree. Like, think about this.
It wasn't no name on the back, of course, because
the wall
of
was made out of wood.
It wasn't of course. It was they didn't know how to do it. Because I've had this whole thing, like, how lazy sports was back in the day. Like, the NFL one time didn't have playoffs. If you won the regular season, they didn't put overtime in the NHL till 1983. Yeah. They didn't record sacks in the NFL till 83.
Yeah.
Like, the Giants logo was a lowercase ny.
By the way,
go back to it now, but they just said, throw it. Don't even capitalize it. We're at war. We can't worry about naming teams. Like, there was a time they didn't bother. Why are they putting the goalpost at the goal line? Isn't it possible somebody could run into it? Oh, I didn't think about that. Let's put it in the back. Like, they didn't bother.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
You didn't have a name on the back of a jersey, not because we didn't want to name the guy. It's just you weren't important enough to put your name on the back of a jersey.
Right.
Who the hell are you? Right. In the offseason, you're a landscaper. Like, that's how it was back then.
No, it really wasn't that important.
Right. So,
like, they didn't bother to put stats down because, who's going to read this card?
So this sport has not evolved to a point where no one who has played in the last 50 years is better than Babe Ruth, who played when there was no DA.
Right. Because we could say that the greatest of all time, it's debatable, Jordan or LeBron, but it's in our lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Gretzky is in our lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right.
Ruth is not in my dad's lifetime.
Football, too. You could do
you
the
have
same thing with Montana.
I'm going to steal this.
Jim Brown just died.
You have callers. I listen to your show regularly. Who call your show, right? I've been a Yankees fan since 1963, right? Complaining about modern day this and
streaming.
They haven't seen Babe Ruth
just think
play.
About it. If somebody called up and said, I've been a Yankee fan since 1936, we would stand up and applaud that he was still alive, and he didn't see Ruth play.
So that's... That blew my mind. But the best part is I go to number 13 before I see a player that I have seen play. A second play. Pete Rose is sixth on the list. I saw him play as a kid. Charlie Hustle, a kid. I know him as a manager. But I saw him play a little bit as a kid. The next guy on the list that I've seen play with my own eyes is Barry Bonds. Now, what is the first thing that comes to mind when I tell you Pete Rose and Barry Bonds?
Well, yeah, both will never get in the Hall of Fame.
No, notorious. Yeah, exactly. Not exactly the best memories. So you have to go to 13 on this list. This will set you off. The 13th best player in baseball.
Is it Jeter?
Yes. According to ChatGPT, is Derek Jeter. Not Ken Griffey Jr. Not even Jackie, Mike Schmidt, right. Albert Pujols.
Please
no.
tell me that, like, all right, guys that have to be ahead of Jeter. And I understand that the whole one vote away from me, but that's all garbage.
Whatever.
All right.
This is a artificial intelligence list created.
So Ken Griffey Jr. not ahead.
Not ahead of him. He is four spots after him. Yeah.
Willie Mays?
He was third, I think, on this list.
Willie Mays is second on the list.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Now, again, people will tell me, you were alive when Willie Mays played for the Mets. That's not Willie Mays. That wasn't Willie Mays.
You know what's interesting? We're going on tangent. That always makes for good radio.
This is why I love when you come in the studio.
Take a look at that 73 season.
No, don't do it.
It's not that bad. He started.
That was not Willie Mays.
I understand it's not Willie Mays, but do you realize in Game 1 of the World Series he batted fourth and played center field? Mm-hmm. And I remember I asked Yogi. I got to talk to Yogi Berra. Believe it or not, it was amazing.
We
went to a golf tournament, and I'll tell you a story off the air about that. Something that happened, but I was talking to Yogi. I got the chance to talk to him, and I said, Yogi, how did you bat him fourth? He was done. He was playing center field. And then he said, take a look at the stats. And I looked at him, and he's like, there was a lefty, and he liked the matchup. It's not as bad as you think. It's still not Willie Mays,
I didn't say
but it's not as bad as
that's
you think.
My point, though. I'm not saying
you know, it's, oh, come on, 73. You, that's don't, like you don't remember anything.
Right,
come
that's
on.
Like telling
you,
me.
You were one. How old were you?
I was literally one.
Yeah.
That's like a kid 50 years from now saying, I saw LeBron play the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. It's like, that wasn't LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron was better.
Like, LeBron is still LeBron was still very good.
Right.
But that's not LeBron. What we watched is not LeBron. LeBron,
like
LeBron
Franco
2015
Harris with the
Seahawks. LeBron. Yeah, there you go.
Johnny Unitas is a Charger.
You get my point.
Yes.
So, all right, I'll give you the I know you got to run.
Why,
we all got to run.
Am I
but
doing?
This is I look, yesterday they had a clock on me. They put a countdown.
Oh, they do it with us all the time.
And I laughed. I'm like, this guy's giving me a clock like I got a heart out. There's one heart out. It's to the K show. Other than that, I'm
you're
blowing
like
through everything.
You're like the Jimmy V of radio.
Literally. Literally. What did he say? Hey.
I don't know.
It's a great line. Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Ty Cobb, Walter Johnson. That's your five best players of your sport. None of them have played in the last 50 years.
And I got to say this, and I get the old timers riled up. Bob Costas hates me for this. If you were to take a time machine and bring Babe Ruth to play today, I don't think you'd make contact. Seriously, because let me ask you this. Somebody bring it because they didn't bother with stats. We don't even know. Honestly, we don't even know half the things actually happened. Was that a home run? Just put down a home run. I had hockey historians tell me half of like Maurice Richard's points. Give Richard. He was on the ice. He probably touched
give him
the
an
puck.
Assist.
What is, it doesn't matter. So
that's great.
You know, think about it. So Walter Johnson. They talk about how
legendary.
This guy would pitch 15 innings.
Yeah.
What did he? What was the fastball? 50 miles per hour? How many of Babe Ruth's home runs came in like the seventh inning off a starting pitcher?
The guy's arm
was
hanging
on his
off.
205th pitch.
That's great.
Now you bring in guys in the fifth inning that have filthy 93 mile per hour sliders.
Mutt Frawley out there.
Walter Johnson is throwing a 35 mile per hour, perfectly straight fastball, and they talk about how great Babe Ruth was.
My line is always, I was born too late. Right. But if I was born in like 1910, I'd be in the Basketball Hall of Fame because I would have been dunking on George Mikan.
Would. They wouldn't know.
Dunking
they
on him.
He played. They'd be coming
you
up on rules.
It.
He's
that
too tall.
That guy couldn't even run.
He's too tall. Don't
he's
let him
serious?
Play. I mean, honestly, isn't that kind of wilt at the beginning? You're a foot taller than everybody else. You better be good. How do you not score 100 points every game?
Daryl Imhoff is like 6'6", going, I got to guard this guy?
Yeah.
Maybe six fouls. Let me get out of here.
Exactly. Oh, man.
You're the best, man.
Oh, this is fun.
You're going to be so late.
Thanks, man.
I don't know. The rest of the top 10, just so you have it. I'll send you the list if you guys want to fight over this, because this is hysterical. So it's Pete Rose and Barry Bonds. Ted Williams, Hank Aaron, Lou Gehrig, Stan Musial, Joe DiMaggio. That's your top. That's your 12. Two of them I've seen play live. Two.
That's amazing. And I know they're going to
say, is
go,
that a problem with
AI?
The sport?
Like Kay's going to say, oh, AI. But really,
who
is
are
it
you
that,
putting
is
above
that outrageous?
Them? No, look
is
at
it
names.
That outrageous?
Those are all legends. Who belongs among them? Ken Griffey? Like, you know, like where are you going? Who belongs up there? Roger Clemens? You know, like there's names I'm looking at and I'm like, I don't know how much I'd
taking
push
out.
Him.
That's the thing we always
who
play.
Who are you taking out? That's the game to play. I'll send this to you.
All right, man.
Don LaGreca, the greatest. K-Show
love
coming up in a half hour. We might have to do a half hour commercials just to make up time.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Here's all you need to know. This was a popular song the last time Babe Ruth played in a game.
Man.
You think this is slapping still today?
Nah,
this is still slapping?
This is not bumping on
no,
the airwaves.
You don't think so?
No one's blasting this in their car right now.
You don't think this holds up?
Nah, it's not. By the way, Don was awesome. It almost feels like
LaGreca is a legend. Like he's so good.
It almost feels like a letdown now that we got to do the rest of the show without
him. How dare you? First and foremost,
no, I'm just
he
saying.
Injected energy into the show in the third hour. That's his
great.
Skill. But no, I look, he's,
his recall. I mean, just phenomenal.
Yeah. No, he's great at what he does. The minute I saw his, all he did was wave in the door window, and I was like, no, because we haven't done that in a while. Last time we had him in here, Bart was here. And Bart was like a little kid.
It was. I think I was listening
Bart
to that segment. It was something hockey related.
It. No, I'm dead serious. When Don left, because obviously he got rid of his show, Bart turned to me. He's like, "We got to get him on all the time." No, that was awesome. Like he loved it. So again, like that's what he does. And the best hosts are the type who are versatile enough that can jump on any show and be effective. And that's the beauty of Don LaGreca. That's what you love listening to him, but. More importantly, I just love having him on. It's fun to talk anything. And that's the thing, too. With what we do, when we were a network, Ty, for the amount of time we were, because we bounced around all over the place. But when we were network, we had to be structured. That's just how network is. It's a structured thing of each segment is not scripted, but just set up of we're going to talk about this, then this, then this, then this. You got to have a plan. And so that was, you know, it was worked for us. It was fine. We deviated a lot. We got yelled at a lot. And yet, you know, we did it. But since we've been back on a local programming schedule, it's been a lot. We've been able to, like, you know, let it loose again. And that's been fun. But it's easier to do the structured thing. Radio is easier when it is structured. This is harder because as we've been doing this, the first hour, 2 hours of the show, we kind of just meandered all over the place. Not everybody can do that. And Don is somebody that
he came
fits
in ready to
right
roll.
In. Yes,
you kind of stripped him a little bit when he's ready for the power hour. You just kept stopping him
because you got to do it right.
Yeah, but he was ready.
I know, but I'm very particular
out.
About like it has to be delivered the right time in the right way. And in the end, he brought it.
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Pretty good.
That was great.
Right? That's really good. I mean, it's still.
That means it's the power hour, 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 hour.
Pretty good.
You're like the reverse Aaron Rodgers, I'm noticing.
What did I do?
Well, so Aaron Rodgers did this whole piece with The Athletic where he's like, yeah, the Packers screwed me. I love the Jets. You do the opposite, where anyone who comes in after Bart Scott, you give him a compliment, but then still refer to, you know, Bart's still A1. He's still the man.
Listen.
Even though he's on vacation.
It's my guy,
it's
man.
Still, it's still Bart. But Bart's not even thinking about
but
you
his name's
right
on the show.
Stop thinking about him because
he actually
he's not thinking
is,
about
he actually is. He was just texting me.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
No, he was not. He is on a vacation on a beach sipping margaritas right now with no care in the world for you or the show.
I cannot confirm nor deny beach or margaritas or anything
so
like
what
that.
So are we talking Turks and Caicos?
Like I said, that's between us. Wherever
that's
he is.
That's what you know. Mm-hmm. You keep bringing him up, he's already forgotten about you. So let's stop talking about him.
Well, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers in the interview that he did with The Athletic. And while he does outline everything that happened, he defends himself about what he was talking about and the relationship breakdown. Admitting, yes, them drafting Jordan Love did send him the wrong way. And that he and Gutekunst, Brian Gutekunst, the GM, that he had issues with him. And he actually admitted in 2021, his agent told the Packers either trade Aaron or fire Gutekunst. I mean, that's a pretty strong thing to say, but that's how bad the relationship got. So, of course, they ended up not doing that. And so Rodgers decided he's not going to anything, no OTAs, no offseason, none of that stuff. Gets to training camp and Gutekunst is now trying to mend the relationship. And I remember being on the air, and we were talking about this whole thing because Rodgers was even flirting with the idea of maybe I'll just retire. Like, he was always using that. And so then Gutekunst started doing all the things that Rodgers wanted, bringing in players that were, you know, like friends of his. Randall Cobb, he brought him back. And so Rodgers then says in the article, there were things that I were hoping was going to change. They made some promises about things they were going to try to do better. But I felt like coming back, have a good season, move forward, and not just focus on some things I really felt strongly about, but that may or may not actually ever get done. So after the first practice, you know, and then he talked to the media and everything like that, said he wanted to see changes to the organization's communication and culture. And then after that whole thing that he did with the media, he said that communication between him and Gutekunst improved somewhat. And then Rodgers was quick to add this to the writer. Quote, it still wasn't anywhere near what I've already enjoyed here with the Jets in just a few short weeks. End quote.
That quote right there.
If you're a Jets fan, you read this whole article. It has nothing to do with you. Nothing.
Nothing.
That one line makes you smile.
Between that and when he comes out of his darkness retreat, and his agent tells him, you know, the Packers are looking to move on. And he said, tell the GM, I want to go to the Jets. That right there, like, when's the last time the Jets were an attractive destination? Like, we do this with the Knicks all the time.
Oh, you're right.
You know, become an attractive destination.
You're
the
right.
Yankees, all they do is win. Giants, same here. When's the last time, like, so you now have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Looked at your situation, despite the fact that you missed the playoffs for the 13th straight year.
And couldn't score 20 points a game.
Couldn't score. You finished the season on a 6-game losing streak.
Right.
You're like chasing your tail when it comes to quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the all-time greats looked at your situation and said, that's where I want to
be.
Yeah,
I want to be part of that.
That makes me happy. It makes me smile.
Just a handful, not even on one hand, a couple of fingers of years from Adam Gase.
Man.
Staring cross-eyed into the camera, and Le'Veon Bell, high as a kite, saying, wow, coaching does matter.
Coaching does matter.
Think about that. You went from seeing ghosts, poor Sam Darnold, sacrificial lamb, to this.
I mean, you want to go back
further? I listened to the greatest things ever said in Jets history. Number one will never change, at least for now. It's, of course, the guarantee.
The guarantee from Broadway Joe. You got can't wait.
Can't wait. You know, let's go have a snack.
I'm not here to kiss his rings.
yep.
Rex Ryan.
Yeah. You play to win the game.
Shout out Big Herm.
And you know what I put as number two?
What's that?
My intention is to play for the New York Jets.
Which, by the way, sneakily, can become number one if they go out there. I don't even want to jinx it. And
does
say
that
win
go?
The Super
really?
Bowl.
Does it really push? It's still name his birthday. I'm not saying that on his
Let
birthday
me ask,
today.
So what year were you born?
71.
Okay, so you didn't watch the game live, I assume.
No.
Okay. So if Aaron Rodgers wins the Jets the Super Bowl, my intention is to play for the New York Jets immediately becomes number one, and it's not even a debate. I'm sorry. For you, at
this
least.
Is Joe Namath's birthday.
No, I love
We're
Joe.
We're not
Broadway
doing
Joe.
This today.
Not, don't do that. Don't make it some
no.
type of disrespect.
You're not
going to
be
for Joe Namath.
This is such a millennial thing.
His 80th birthday. His 80th birthday. We'll give him all the love and adoration and praise.
Let's have this conversation tomorrow, not on this man's birthday today.
It's disrespectful.
We're going to win, I guarantee it, is still the greatest thing
it
said
is.
In franchise history.
It is.
It would be monumental to move that aside. Monumental.
You think Joe Namath saw Babe Ruth play? I got to be, that was a ghost, that was ghost written by Ray Dinahan. I got to give him credit for that one. But my point is that they go out there, beat the Chiefs.
Who knew
the
we
Bengals,
were
going to
make fun of
Eagles.
Babe Ruth today? No idea.
Well, according to Don, Babe Ruth would right. be good to.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm dealing with
big
something
generation
right now.
Gap. What happened?
So I went over to hand my phone to Don.
You
show
look like
him
you're in pain. Are you good?
GPT list.
Yes.
And I banged my knee on this like little. Death situation in here?
Oh, the gong pedestal.
The gong pedestal.
It is, it is sharp. Yeah, this is not toddler-proof.
And I've been reeling ever since. I got
stinging.
Nauseous.
It's stinging, huh? It's bad. Did you catch it like right
oh,
under
right
the
there.
Kneecap? Or where'd you get it?
It's like right on the top of the knee, but like on that bone vertex, it stings.
Still hurting. It's resonating?
Still hurts. It's resonating. Immediately when I sat down, I was in pain, and then nausea came, which was confusing.
Oh, the
Why
nausea.
Am I nauseous?
Yeah, the nausea.
Like I got bit in the knee. I don't think that should make me nauseous.
It's the pain. It hurts so much you want to throw up. Yeah, the table is not exactly. The pedestal for the gong is not really kid proof.
Yeah, it's not.
When you're in the studio, we probably should get those, you know, those the things you can get at like Bye Bye Baby.
Yeah.
Babies R Us. You know, like you can just put them on
corner
the corners.
Covers, the little corner covers.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
But I'm good. Fine. I'll be back tomorrow.
You going to fight through it?
Fighting through it. No
fight
complaints for me.
Proud of you. Proud of you. So while we were just waxing poetic about Aaron Rodgers and just how wonderful everything is, the honeymoon's the best part and all. And, I mean, Dwayne Brown spoke today, and he even talked about, he's 37 years old, came back for another year at the tackle position. And he's even talking about how, like, we're that good. Like, we could win it all. But there's one guy at ESPN that has been the Debbie Downer. This is the guy. He's the wet blanket. He's the guy that looks at the Jets and sees nothing but disaster. And that's Bill Barnwell, who's considered an expert. He certainly knows his stuff, does a lot of work, uses numbers, information, everything else. So he's on SportsCenter, and he explained why he hates the Jets.
It's not just about trading for Aaron Rodgers, but how much they had to give up in trading for Aaron Rodgers. This was a negotiation. Remember, we're the Jets. We're the only team that were in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. Aaron Rodgers came out himself and said, I want to go play for the Jets. They are paying him more than $50 million per year. He's going to be the highest paid quarterback in football. They gave up a second round pick this year. They dropped down two picks in the first round and cost themselves a left tackle and likely will give up a first round pick in 2020. Four plus, when you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you got to bring in all his friends, right? Given all they had to pay, it makes them better by replacing Zach Wilson with Aaron Rodgers, but I just think they don't necessarily have the kind of ceiling to add the pieces around Aaron Rodgers that they're going to need to compete for a Super Bowl over the next couple of seasons.
Hater.
Interesting. I mean, all they have is a top five defense, offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year.
I mean, but, when he talks about bringing in all of his friends,
Alan Lazard
is actually good.
Randall Cobb.
And Randall Cobb is like a glorified coach. You know what, though? Let him hate. See you tomorrow, Ty.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.